any DVDs?
The show is about Ryan, and at the opening of the show, he's trying to commit suicide.
Basically, Ryan's in the middle of a nervous breakdown, and when he sees my dog, instead of seeing Wilfred, he sees a guy in a big dog suit speaking with this Australian accent.
Give you quite a fright, did I?
Am I dead?
Ah! Seems not.
Well, it's about a dog who thinks he's human, so much so that he smokes cigarettes and drinks beers. Part Labrador, part Russell Crowe on a bender.
And welcome to What to Watch Podcast, Two Guys Watching Too Much TV. I am your host, Christopher, and joining me, as always, is my co-host,
Jeremiah. How's it going, Chris?
Oh, super busy, but we're persevering. We're going to do a podcast because we like doing it, even though we're busy.
That's right. We don't want our busy schedules to get in the way of awesome podcasting.
Right. I got a hurricane bearing down on us, but I'm still doing a podcast.
That's right. You would be podcasting even if the hurricane was coming down right now. The wind would be in the background, but you'd still be going, hey, I'm podcasting.
I would hook my laptop and modem up to a generator and continue to podcast.
Take it on the road.
Yeah. I'd find the nearest Starbucks or whatever with Wi-Fi.
There you go. That's right. Anything for the show.
Yes. So, Jeremiah, what have you been up to?
Not much. Actually, since the last time we've got together, not a whole lot has happened, that I can think of. Getting back into normal. You know, I think most of our trips are done. You know, we had that trip, of course, to Minneapolis. Talked a little bit about that. But, just kind of settling back into that. The wife's out of town this week for business, and then so I'm kind of been on my own this week. So
defending for yourself.
Defending for myself, right, and the kids, which they pretty much take care of themselves nowadays. But, I still have to make sure they have dinner and make sure they're doing their homework and all that good stuff. But, not much going on at all. But unlike yourself, which you have been very busy, haven't you?
I have been super busy. Fun fact for anyone who didn't know, when a hurricane is coming towards your state, insurance companies stop issuing new policies until it's all passed.
How dare them?
And here's another fun fact. You got to have homeowner's insurance before you close on your house. They like that.
Really?
Mortgage companies like insurance on homes they're about to pay for. I had to, because my mortgage broker, great guy, really on top of stuff. He's like, I just saw the news. It's coming our way. The word hasn't gone any up, but insurance companies are going to start shutting off their policies. Get one tomorrow. Pronto. So I spent the first half of the day feverishly dialing these three insurance companies that I was like, the first one to get back to me, that's the one I'm picking. So I don't even know who one, but anyway, that person, I sent him the stuff, so we're gonna be good.
Well, that's all that matters, and hopefully it's not. Well, last time I heard, what is it? Is it at a category one? Is that where it's at right now?
It's a category one, and two out of the three. This is how weather people love to do this. Two out of the three pass the computer has predicted are gonna be way off. I mean, unless I had a boat out in the Atlantic, I wouldn't have to worry about it at all. But one scenario, of course, has it really close to land.
Of course.
You know, of course. So they can just panic you and say it's, you know, it's coming right for us. So
and that way the insurance can shut things down.
Yep. So hopefully it's all really just like high waves and winds and that's it. You know, it doesn't really affect us at all.
Yeah, and you're inland a little. Well, when I say inland, I mean, you know, the state of Florida is not super wide. I mean, it takes like 2 hours to get from one side to the other almost. Well, it's
pretty
a little
much
bit long. 4 hours. It's, maybe it's longer than that.
It's like if you're a dead center in Florida, you're still only 60 miles from one side of the ocean other.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, you're at least someone inland enough that, you know, even if even if a four came across to you, I mean, it would be bad, but. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't be as bad as if you were an hour into on the coast.
Yeah,
so.
Charlie that actually did kind of come up through the center of Florida did some damage, but, you know, Disney World is still standing sort of thing.
Right,
so.
Right. There was a reason why Disney World makes sure that they were in the middle of the state and not along the coast.
So we're fine.
That's good.
And of course, you don't have to contend with hurricanes in the Midwest there, just tornadoes.
Yes, that's right. We're in Tornado Alley, so as long as a tornado doesn't hit, we're good to go.
That's good. So we had been talking about, this is kind of a bad transition because I can't think of a hurricane to any other topic we were going to talk about.
That's a good point. There really isn't anything we can discuss.
Yeah. It's like hurricane, let's talk TV. we had talked about the podcast app. Now,
yes, we did.
I got excited when it first came out.
Sure.
And I played with it, and I was just like, I don't see show notes in here. Mm-hmm. I don't like the navigation system that's working. I just didn't like some of the stuff. Some of the things I did like that you could subscribe and it just download to your iPhone. I don't have to sync anymore. That was kind of nice. But it just had some bugs to it and some features missing that made me like, oh, Apple, you could do better.
Yeah. So I agree. Essentially, in the end, Chris, I think you've kind of summed it up very well. There's lots of little things would be nice to add. First of all, before I go on here, I was a question for you. Have you been using an app to listen to podcasts, or you have still been doing the traditional download, and loaded it through your computer?
I just used what they've now named Music app, which is used to be like essentially iTunes, the app, because you had your videos, your music, your books, your podcast, everything in there. And they've solely been pulling that out to their individual apps. You know, iBooks got its own thing. Video, very generic sounding, but all the videos are now in there.
Right.
So they're essentially, they really do want, when it says music, means that's the only thing it's going to do is play music.
Okay, so you have not been messing around with third-party apps like Pocket Cast and some of these other ones.
I've heard like Podcatcher and Pocket Cast have been very, are spoken highly when I hear people talk about it.
Sure. Okay, well, I really never had a desire to worry about an app at all until I got my iPhone, which for those of you that know me, pretty close, know that I recently got an iPhone about two, three months ago, was it? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So now once I had an iPhone, I was like, you know what? I really want to kind of just take advantage of everything an iPhone can do. So maybe I'll go ahead and start looking at some of the apps. And I know that our buddy Cliff Ravenscraft at GSPN, he is a huge fan of Pocket Cast. He talks about it all the time. So I went ahead, I did download Pocket Cast probably very early into getting my iPhone, and I've been using it quite a bit. I really like their format. And what was funny is when I started using the Apple's podcast app, I noticed that they have a lot of similarities. You know, you have a menu at the top where you can view it as in like the artwork, and then you can also separate it as in episodes. And there's a lot of similarities to the two apps, but Pocket Cast does have, well, I don't know if there's a place in there for, well, Pocket Cast, basically what I'm getting down to is it is not nearly as buggy, and it's much better as far as like all the show notes load very easily. All the artwork shows up just fine. But for some reason, Apple, and I think we're on our second update. Does that sound correct, Chris, with this application?
I guess so, because like, I haven't been using it, so I don't pay attention when I just, update everything that I need, because there's always like 9 apps, it seems like, that constantly update, so I just update everything.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
I
hardly even look anymore.
I'm the same way. So here's what I can say. For positives is I think they're on the right direction. I love the idea about having a dedicated application for podcasting. I think I agree with Cliff Ravenscraft's review is that it would be nice that if this application would come standard whenever you buy an iPhone or iPad.
It will.
And he loves the idea of having it be one of those apps where you can't remove it, you know what I mean, where it's baked into the software. Now, he's saying that for selfish reasons because he feels like if it's always there, maybe you'd be more likely to want to get into podcasting, I guess, or get into listening to podcasts. Either way, I don't really care about that part. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to be a little annoyed if you can't remove it. So I don't necessarily care too much about it, but I would love for it to just come standard with any type of iDevice you buy, whether it's the iPad or the iPhone. That would be great.
I've heard that iOS 6 mm-hmm. will have it standard.
That's what I've been hearing too, so I like that. I think really at this point right now, Chris, is I think they're on the right – what I'm trying to say is I think they're on the right track with this application. They just need to continue to work out the bugs. There's a lot of little bugs here and there, and I really would like to see them get that worked out, and then maybe this will be a much better app to run. It's just too buggy for me still.
I've always thought, you know, Apple, even though they really kind of push podcasting into the spotlight, mm-hmm. that it's always kind of this, you know, like afterthought for them because they can't turn a buck on it. I mean, if they do finally get this app out and they figure a payment module where like people could, if you subscribe to it, it costs you, you know, $1 for a year subscription, let's just say that, or maybe they say $1 an episode, you know, maybe Apple would start putting a little more effort, maybe throw a few more developers onto it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know if that's a direction they're going to consider going, but it would be something that they could consider. But I think, well, just hopefully that whatever decision they wind up doing, they definitely need to definitely fix out the bugs. I mean, it's definitely gotten better. When I first got it, it was really buggy. The only thing I've noticed recently, Chris, and I think it probably just depends because I'm hearing a lot of different reviews. Some people say they have no problems at all, and some people have had problems. I've just kind of noticed sometimes when I first load it, I kind of have to wait a second for it to really kind of load, shall we say. It seems like it takes a little bit to mm-hmm. load. Once it gets loaded, it's for the most part seems to be fine. Sometimes kind of slow. And I tell you, the only thing, if I had a really big complaint, if Apple was to ever listen to this podcast, if I had a really big complaint, would be probably when it comes to like the overall navigation of it. Like one of the things I liked about Pocket Cast is that it's real clear about as far as like there's a little button where it says you can play it, so you can stream it or you can download it. And like the Apple's one, it's not. Yes, there's a download button, I guess, but it's just not very clear. And by the way, it doesn't seem to always work right. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I've had trouble. And maybe it's just something with my iPhone. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think once they get the bugs worked out, as long as they continue to do it, I am still using it. I try to use it as much as possible. I have been tempted to go back to Pocket Cast. And in fact, I'm sure there has been a few times in the last few weeks that I have. But I am trying my best to use it as much as I can because I do believe it's positive for podcasters and for podcasting if the app does well.
Yes. I want a really good app. That's the thing is like,
yes.
I don't want to just sound like I'm dumping on Apple. I know they could make a good application. You know, I've seen it in the past. I like iPhoto and stuff like that. So I'm like, if they put some of their better developers, maybe it'll get nice and cleaned up, and it'll be mm-hmm. really slick, and I'll use it more.
Yeah, they have something. You know, people, a lot of people wondered about where the future is for podcasting, but I think it's actually still looking pretty bright. A lot of big people, a lot of big names, are getting into podcasting or having a podcast, and it's really becoming a very popular form of medium. To where as people start to learn what podcasting is and how it works. And I think eventually they'll realize, oh, it's kind of like listening to a radio show whenever I want, and that I can mm-hmm. skip through and pause and come back to. And I think once more people start realizing, and it's a lot like their DVR, what their DVR did for television is kind of what you can do for this.
Yeah.
And to make it even better, you can find shows that follow niches that you are passionate about and love. And that's what's cool about it.
It's kind of like podcasting is like what cable television is to talk radio, because now mm-hmm. there is a channel for every kind of taste and flavor. So now it doesn't matter what you're into. I'm sure there's a podcast dedicated to that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's true. Well, we've gone on quite a bit about this because this obviously is not a show about podcasting, but I think
this is relevant because we're on a podcast right now.
Exactly. So. And obviously the people that are listening to this obviously enjoy listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're probably interested in what other people are probably thinking about this app. So there you go. That's our review, right, Chris?
Yes.
It's okay. They need to work out the bugs, but hopefully it will continue to get better.
That's what we hope. So the clip we played at the beginning was from our Double Blind Wilfred.
Yes.
So, do you want to go first or should I?
Oh, you can go first. That's okay. Fine, Chris.
I had seen promos like for their first season, and I always thought, oh, that, you know, I like Elijah Wood, mm-hmm. and it's kind of an interesting premise. It's different, which I like. I'm like, oh, cool, good. You know, it definitely doesn't fit a mold of a sitcom. And a buddy of mine is like, oh, I'm addicted to this show. I love it. I have the first season on a DVD. I can't wait for the second season. And even though the two of us like agree almost 100% on movies, mm-hmm. we're so different in TV. Like, he loves Family Guy. I can't stand Family Guy. He, you know, loves to watch, you know, like certain other shows. And I was like, how can you watch this? But for some reason, we always click on movies. But anyway, so I was very hesitant when you suggested, I was like, I don't know, this may or may not be a show I enjoy. So, and I was like, well, first of all, the premise is much like Charlie Brown, how just Charlie Brown talks to his dog like he's a living human being rather than a dog. But I don't think Charlie Brown is like having a nervous breakdown or anything. It's interesting. The main character, you know, at the like in the promo said, you know, he was on the verge of suicide and he's very stressed out and he starts seeing the neighbor's dog as a person in a dog costume with an Australian accent, which they never explain, at least in the episode I saw. But, you know, he seems to be very a functioning person after that. You know, he has like neuroses, but he seems to be able to function well. But yet he still sees this dog as a man in a suit. So it's just like, oh, this is just going to be a buddy TV show. Just two friends. And while I thought some of the jokes were very funny, it was just like, you know, this premise is so different and so out there. It's going to click with some people and not with others, mm-hmm. you know, but FX is a great channel for that kind of stuff to be on.
That's true.
So I thought this is great. This is, you know, cause I, unfortunately when networks do that, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever, that show would have been canceled so fast because if mm-hmm. it didn't get the right amount of ratings, because it appealed to a broad enough audience, and this is not going to appeal to a broad audience.
Oh no, no,
but
you're right.
It's okay for that on cable. Mm-hmm. They want that. Okay, this is going to appeal to such and such demographic, and you know it's never going to achieve a certain amount of ratings, but that's okay.
Right. You
know? So I have to applaud it for that.
Sure.
It took a concept that had kind of, like I said, kind of like Charlie Brown-ish, kind of like a couple other things. It just ran with it. You know, it just ran with this concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard for me to give a rating. It's like, I personally didn't like it, but I have to apply it. So I'm going to give it 2 stars just because, you know what, I applaud original ideas, and I'm glad it's those things are out there because that'll spark other people out there to maybe do a show that really clicks with me that may not click with other people. So hopefully it spawns other things like that.
Yeah, it did. I kind of fall in the same boat as you. It didn't do a whole lot for me. Mm-hmm. I will say I did tape the next episode.
I did watch 2 episodes. I went back and watched an episode.
Okay.
So I was like, I don't want to make a snap judgment because I was very on the crack of like, okay, I like some of it, but some of it was just like, eh. So I watched 2 episodes just to make sure my opinion is somewhat valid.
Right. And well, here's the thing. I'll have to admit, okay, you mentioned earlier about it being a comedy. That is how they're selling this, right? They're selling it as a comedy?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, I really did not laugh at any point in the episode we watched. And for those of you who are curious, we watched the 21st episode, I believe it is, all overall. It's called Truth. Is that correct? Is that what it was called, I believe?
So it was that one word title.
Truth, yeah. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, okay. So the episode was essentially, it was a great episode for us to watch because it kind of really give us an insight about how far Elijah Wood's character has gone when it comes to his, you know, his issue he has, which his issue is clearly the guy is severely depressed, has a lot of issues, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things about him is that he sees things or hears things. You know, obviously he visions this his dog as being real. I mean, he's he's completely out of touch with life. He's just really is. And this episode was a great episode about how out of touch he is, where Wilford himself kind of shows him how out of touch he is by the whole scene of what happens in the basement. And then he finds out that, well, there was nothing wrong at the whole time. He was just all in his head. And so he realizes that this idea about him living with his girlfriend, moving in with her, was a terrible idea. And by the way, the scene towards the end, and I hate to spoil it for those of people that are big fans of Wilford and are watching this and did not see this episode yet, but that scene, though, with the girlfriend, and when he basically tells her, you know, hey, this isn't going to work out, oh my goodness, that poor girl. I felt so sorry for her. The look on her face was like, oh,
Who plays her? Because she looked familiar.
Yeah, that's actually that's a great point. And I have the IMDb page open right now. Do you remember what the girlfriend's name was? Was it a Kristen?
I think so. Was that the neighbor? I can't remember who's the neighbor and the girlfriend.
I know. I see. Oh, boy. Well, if it's Kristen, it's Doreen Brown. And I think that's who this is. But anyway, I'm not quite – obviously, neither one of us have been watching this show long enough to know. We've only watched one or two episodes, so it's not enough to be quick judgments here on all the characters. But, you know, it was – I didn't laugh. That was my point I was getting at. I did not laugh during this show at all. And I don't know if it's – and it's not just a style, because a lot of people say, well, maybe you don't really like Australian type of humor. Because, obviously the Australians, the Brits, and a lot of the different countries have a different style when it comes to comedy. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's it. I really felt like maybe it was because of a particular episode we had, because it's a very serious subject. You know, Elijah's character, Ryan, is really struggling here to find out, am I ready to move on to the next level with this relationship with my girlfriend? Am I really that ready? And Wilford was trying. So it was kind of a serious moment here where Wilford's trying to explain to him, no, dude, you're not ready. You're still talking to me. You're still, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, so maybe it was the episode, but I did not laugh at all. I really thought it was a drama, and that's why I started to tape the next episode, because I'm thinking, well, I'll watch the next one and see if that makes me laugh. Because I did not laugh. I'm feeling sorry for this guy the entire time I'm watching it.
Right. And usually, I watched two episodes. I watched a earlier episode, and I will say the interaction between Wilford and Elijah Wood, I never really found funny. But like the episode I saw was like the other episode. Elijah Wood was having some friends over, and Wilford shows up with his little bear. It's like a giant stuffed bear.
Okay,
which is his character, and I thought that when Wilford was talking about him and talking to the bear, cause he treats it like a person, was hilarious. You know, he's like, oh no, he's drinking again. And it's just like a beer bottle was just near the bear stuffed bear, you know, and Elijah Wood just picks it up and moves it over. He's like, there, he stopped, you know, and things like that. Or like, you know, Wilford will throw a plate, you know, and blame it on the bear or things like that, you know, and they'll get in fights. Like, I am not a butthead, you know, and it's just a stuffed bear not doing anything. And I found that kind of stuff hilarious. But then whenever he would talk to Elijah Wood, I found it kind of almost depressing, because there were always something like, you know, he was always giving him advice on like how to interact with people. It seemed like Elijah Wood didn't even want to like, oh, he's a friend. But because, you know, you learn the backstory of Elijah Wood worked at his father's law office, and his dad wanted him to do somewhat what Elijah Wood considered unethical things, and he quit.
Right.
And this guy was going to quit with him, but then his father offered him a partnership and they stayed. And so he wasn't his friend anymore. And the guy was just like, listen, you know, your dad offered me something I could, you know, it's a dream job. What am I going to do? You know? And I didn't know that would end our friendship kind of thing, you know, and he's trying to get back with him and, you know, just be his friend again. And Elijah Wood doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but he's like, you know, don't close yourself off to the world kind of thing. Wilford kept, you know, wanting him to just be friends with people again. So,
yeah, you know what I think would make more enjoyable? Maybe this is just me, but I think because of the fact that I knew enough about the character that this guy and I think they even mentioned in the clip that we played, that the first episode starts off where Ryan, Elijah's character, is about ready to kill himself. He's severely depressed. He's about ready to kill himself. And then having his dog come to life to him, for him, shall we say, help kind of save him. Is that kind of the correct how the... Because we didn't... Neither one of us, of course, had seen the pilot. And so we haven't seen the first episode. But from what I understand, it's kind of going... So I knew enough about the character is that this guy is very depressed. And the only reason why he's seeing this dog is it helps him get through his depression or helps him get through his day, is to be able to talk to this dog. I think to me, as a comedy, it would be even funnier if that wasn't the case. If Wilford was more of... just his conscience, right? Like, yes, he is talking to his dog, but it's more of just this funny conscience, like that,
kind of like his alter ego.
Yeah, like if Wilford was more of his alter ego. So Wilford is out doing all the things that Elijah character really normally wouldn't do, where, you know, he drinks and smokes too much, maybe he does drugs, he likes to howl at the girls and, like, try to sniff their butts or something, you know. He's doing all these funny, zany things that, you know, that Elijah's character would never do, but yet it's just,
and
that's just his concept.
And he's the only one that can see him, period.
Right.
Like, if I wouldn't see him as a normal dog.
Yeah, do you see what I'm saying? If it wasn't because I'm looking at Elijah's poor character, and all I see is him go, oh, that poor guy, he's such a mess. He thinks his dog's real, you know? I mean, if it was because I was thinking that, maybe it would be a little bit funnier. If it was just because, you know, this is his alter ego kind of thing. His dog is living out his alter ego and doing all the things he would normally wouldn't do or something like that. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I only watched one episode, but I think Wilford is the obnoxious type, right? He always, drinks, he smokes, he cusses, right? So he is a very opposite of what Ryan, the Elijah character, is. So they have that going on. It's just, unfortunately, while I'm watching it consciously, I know that this is more of a case of this poor guy is suffering from a very bad form of depression. So you see what I'm saying? If the premise was a little bit different, maybe I would be able to laugh a little bit easier. But I did. That is the only problem I had with the comedy aspect of it, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And I have to agree. I think if you get Wilford on a certain wavelength, maybe it's very funny. And I'm just like, but I feel so bad for these people. Maybe I can't laugh at their pain. Maybe some people can laugh at that pain. But I'd rather Elijah Wood, you know, get hit with a door or something drop on his head. Then I would laugh at that kind of pain. But not this emotional, suicidal type pain.
Right. I mean, you could see the pain in him, and then you could see the pain in his girlfriend as he's trying to tell the poor girl, I can't live with you. And of course, he can't tell her why he can't live with her. Oh, it's because I
looked like he was debating putting on the ring for the first time.
Yeah. Pain. Yeah. So. Like you say, Gollum, give me that ring. Yeah. No, my precious, I can't give you my ring. You know, it was hard to watch. Instead of it being a funny scene, it was just hard to watch. So if I had to judge this show on the one episode I watched, I would probably, and I'm going to be generous, I'm going to give it an extra half star. I'm going to give it 2.5 stars because. Okay. I thought the chemistry between Elijah Wood and Wilford, the Jason Gunn, I like the chemistry. I love, by the way, Jason, plays Wilford. Great. I love it. Love the accent. Everything's working for the dog.
Everyone's performance was great.
Absolutely.
It was just the material.
Absolutely. It's just the material. Mm-hmm. The way the script is going, I'm not quite sure it's for me. I can definitely understand, though, by watching it, I can see why people do like it. I mean, I see where they could like it. I just think that if I was watching it, I would have a hard time laughing. And since, unfortunately, I think they want me to laugh, I just don't see myself laughing very often watching it, unfortunately. So I would give it 2.5 stars.
Okay.
Like I said, I did enjoy the performances of the actors. I think it was very well. Not exactly completely crazy about the script. And even in the overall premise of how the story goes, like I said, it didn't really work very well for me. But I think that for certain particular people, I think they'll really enjoy it. And yes, though, this isn't probably for a younger audience. It's definitely for, I would say, somewhere probably it falls in the college range, maybe the early 20s.
Definitely college material.
Okay, that's I think so. If you're a in that range, early 20s, late teens, early 20s, you might find this very entertaining.
Yes, and now we're going to move on to something that we both found funny.
Yes.
In our movie reviews.
Yes, that's right. Let's get to those.
Yes.
Will the defendants rise? Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation, I find the defendants guilty as charged. Do you wish to waive the right to a pre-sentence hearing?
No. Yes, Your Honor.
Taking into account the severe and ruthless nature of this crime and the bleak prospects for your rehabilitation, I hereby sentence you to serve 125 years in the custody of the Commissioner of the Department of Corrections.
What? Well, no, sit. You know, we didn't do it. There's a misunderstanding.
That's right.
We didn't do it.
We didn't.
I didn't. Our lawyer told us to come up. He's joking. He means we didn't do it.
See,
we didn't do it.
Have you got the right case?
This is Monroe and Donahue.
Harry Monroe. Harry Monroe. Look under there. In black. Tall.
Sir, we didn't.
Black man.
How much does that mean in actual time?
All I want is to go back to America. I'm just asking you to help me out here.
Very difficult journey, very risky, very dangerous. Do you have the money? Do you take the risk?
Look at this!
What'd you find, Cortez?
What is that?
All right, that was two clips. The first one was Stir Crazy, and the second one was the 2010 film Monsters.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me. I know it's very unprofessional, but I couldn't help but laugh during the clip of the Stir Crazy one. Yes. I'm so glad you chose that particular part of the film, because even though it's been a little bit since I've seen the movie, I still to this day remember that scene, and what makes it so funny, not, other than obviously their performance, because Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor are just comedian geniuses, of course. But this is exactly how I would feel if I was in their position. Yeah. I would be like, "What?
Yeah.
What? Are you sure you're talking about our?" I mean, because the poor guys didn't realize what was going on, that they really were serious suspects here, and that they really thought that they did it. And it just, their reactions was just priceless, because that's exactly how I would react if I found I was going to prison for the rest of my life. So sorry about that, everyone. I should have probably muted my microphone. But Chris, which one do you want to start with? You want to go first, or you want me to?
Since you were talking about Stir Crazy, we'll start with that one.
Okay, all right.
This is, like you said, the first of kind of the buddy pictures they did, right?
I believe that's right. I believe so. This was one of the first that they did together. I can look that up as you're discussing, but I believe it is got to be one of the first ones they did. This one was done in 1980. I want to say there was something else that they did together right before that, but I'll make sure here in a second. But so what did you overall think about it?
Overall, I mean, I knew the two people going in, you know, I knew Richard Pryor from like Brewster's Millions and Toys and stuff like that. I knew Gene Wilder from like Blazing Saddles and Willy Wonka and stuff like that. So I was like, I know I like these actors. Let's see how well they go together. And the one I remember watching was See No Evil, Hear No Evil. That's the only one I remember. But again, they're very big in the 80s. They made several films together. So I must have seen at least this one or another one at some point, but I didn't remember it. So we watched this one, and I definitely don't remember. I remember like one or two of the rodeo scenes, but it could have just been from flipping around TV.
Sure. Yeah.
But, basic premise of this is, the two of them are, I'm not really sure what they're trying to be, like playwrights. Like Gene Wilder wants to write a novel, I think, or a play. Mm-hmm. He wants to write this, and Richard Pryor just, you know, wants a better life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide to move out to California from New York. And in the process, they get this, you know, silly job of doing like singing advertisements at this bank dressed as chickens. Their costumes are stolen and the bank is robbed with them. So obviously the police think they did it. And again, they get sentenced to like 130 years. They get sent to prison and prison hilarity ensues. Craig T. Nelson is like one of the head guards. Mm-hmm. And the warden has this bizarre bet he always makes with this Texas warden about the rodeo, this prison rodeo that happens. And he ends up, turns out that Gene Wilder's character is kind of this natural bull rider. So the warden, you know, bets big on them. They plan to escape during the rodeo. They make friends with some of the inmates. They both freak out when they're both being entered into the prison system, which was hilarious.
Mm.
You know, they just lose their brains. Like the one, I think Richard Pryor just slaps the guard and just goes berserk, you know. And
right.
So I would have loved to have learned a little backstory of like, how much was that scripted? How much was it just saying, okay, guys, the scene calls for you to go nuts, you know, and just play it up for X amount of minutes and, you know, let them do what they do. Because it's definitely a lot of fun. I'm trying to remember if I, you know, I'm trying to compare the two, but I have to say they all stand on their own. They're all very good. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just a very funny film. I think it is R. Is it PG-13 or R? There's a couple of languages in there, so, you know, don't watch your little kids.
Yeah, it's rated R. I mean,
it is about prison.
Yeah, it is about prison. But I believe most of the movies they did together were rated R. That, like, okay. See No Evil, Hear No Evil, which I know you had mentioned seeing, that, mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely not for kids. I remember that movie clearly. It had the F word every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's Richard Pryor. I mean, Richard Pryor, anybody that's seen his stand-up, more so than even Gene Wilder. He was, you know, he had a lot of dirty words, of course. So his movies, it definitely had that. And this has it in it. I did look up real quick, by the way. It looks like, unless I'm wrong here, for my quick research, this was the second movie they have done together. They did have some chemistry going ahead into this movie because they had done the movie I had mentioned before that I would like for eventually someday maybe you should check out is Silver Streak, which is also another great zany comedy that the two of them did. And I think that movie is kind of set into this one where they did so well together as a buddy team, and that they said, well, let's do another one.
And so Sidney Poitier saw it.
Yeah, I do. And this is another one of those great two innocent guys in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? We've seen it a million times before.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean, prior to this, I mean, I can't think of what happened before 1980, but I mean, like, you think of My Cousin Vinny, you know, and all these other stuff, where you got two innocent bystanders who were just at the wrong place at the wrong time, and it creates this great, hilarious, zany comedy. And everybody loves that kind of stuff. And then when you get two comedic geniuses like this together that have great chemistry, even if you thought the movie was mediocre, I guarantee you there's some point in the film where you probably busted up laughing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's kind of how it is.
The two of them, and that's just it. I think the two of them have enough scenes where they're interacting together, but there's also scenes where, you know, Richard Pryor does his thing that everyone likes, and then, you know, Gene Wilder does some of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, they have their own sequences that are kind of showcasing one or the other, and then they have the stuff together. So it's really, you know, I wouldn't say I was constantly laughing, but when I was laughing, it was hard laughing.
Yeah, I hear you.
It was big laughs.
Yeah, exactly. It has those moments where you get that really big laugh where you're just chuckling really hard or whatever and rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all the movies that they have done together that I've seen, and I believe I've seen just about all of them that they did together, you know, it was that same thing. I mean, it's not like you're laughing every second, but there's always at least a handful of parts in the movie where you're going to be just rolling laughing at some point. Kind of like the scene, the clip that we played, because that scene is just so funny with the two of the expressions on their faces and their eyes get so big. They're like, what are you saying? You know, and it's great. It's just great stuff. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that, there is some language in it. Unlike Silver Streak, which their first film they did together, which is only PG. That one, I believe, if I remember, you can watch that in front of the entire family. I don't think there's a lot of bad language, but it's very similar to the style and the comedy. You know, that the mid to late 70s, early 80s comedy. You know, it's got the same feel, is what I'm saying. But I think that when you, like I said, you just can never go wrong when you watch two greats together. That's right. Kind of what I always thought. You never could go wrong with that. You know,
well, I give it 3.5 out of 5. The only thing I might have just, I just like the premise. I mean, it was funny, but maybe one of the others, I really enjoyed myself, and it makes me want to watch the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And like I think I mentioned this to you when we first talked about reviewing this, it's not my favorite. I mainly chose it because of the fact that it was available for streaming, so to make it easier for us. But I knew it was good enough to say, hey, you know what? Go ahead and watch it, because it's definitely good enough to at least watch. And three stars is exactly where I would put it at as well. Mm-hmm. It's not their best picture together necessarily, and it's maybe not, obviously not the best picture that they've done as solos neither. But it's definitely hilarious. It's great moments, and I think it's definitely something everybody should check out at least once in their life and sit down. It's definitely worth checking out. So that's pretty much where I put it as well. 3 stars.
So what did you think of Monsters?
Well, I have to admit, the first thing that when you mentioned what I was going to see, as anyone that knows me, I am a sucker for any kind of film involving aliens coming to this planet, or us going to visit aliens, or just anything in aliens in general. I am a hardcore geek at heart. The idea of someday meeting some aliens always sounded like an exciting prospect for me. Despite the fact that I was not familiar with the film at all, did not know anything about it, I do have one quick question for you. Chris, you can answer for me right off the bat. Obviously, this was not a high-budget film. It was more of a low-budget film. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a lot of talk. Was this a direct-to-DVD movie? Because I don't remember it being in the theater.
I know it went through quite a bit of the festival circuit.
Okay.
But I don't know if it got a wide theatrical release. I know it got a limited theatrical release.
Because it's an independent film, I'm assuming, right?
Right.
Okay, so it went through the independent circles, you know, that, like you said, smaller markets. So it could have been here in one of our theaters that usually normally highlight those kind of films. We have a few of those in St. Louis.
I think if it did get a theatrical release, it was limited.
Okay. Well, I will be very honest with you. The title alone, I was concerned, because I thought to myself, Monsters? Really? That's the title? Monsters? You know, it seemed kind of a little weak. It's like, I don't understand. Why would you go with such a simple title like that? But hey, whatever works. I mean, sometimes you have to really, especially an independent filmmaker, you have to think about, well, what kind of title can at least get people to think, well, what is that? You know, I mean, so maybe that's could have been what it is. I mean, you can't call the film 8mm unless you are J.J. Abrams, you know? So I get that. Here's kind of one of the, I put it in the same category. Did you ever see the movie District 9?
Yes.
Okay. That was an independent film that came out not too long ago as well that involved aliens. That one got a lot of acclaim. In fact, a lot of people talked about it and everything. And I really did not like that film. I was not
a fan of it either.
By the time the movie was over with, I sat to myself going, you know what? This is not that good. I mean, I would be stretching it to give that movie 2 stars. I actually like this one much better. I would at least consider giving this closer to maybe a 3-star rating. I mean, definitely a 2.5.
I have to say, when I heard the premise, I was like, oh, I didn't like District 9. And then when they were talking about some of the other stuff, I was like, they mentioned Cloverfield. And I was like, I didn't like Cloverfield. I'm one of the few that didn't like that. So I'm like, uh-oh. I'm going, it's being compared to 2 movies I did not like.
That would worry me too, because I think you're probably in the same category as I am. Cloverfield, the reason why I wasn't a huge proponent of that movie is, I have to admit, I don't mind a little hand cam type stuff, but to have so much of the movie where that's what it is, it's a bit hard to watch. This movie didn't have that.
It's not found footage. It's not any of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But Cloverfield, for me, it was like, there's a reason they tell people not to talk in theaters during a movie. And the characters, because of the premise and how it's shot, they would not stop talking. Now, of course, you're watching a movie and there's dialogue on screen. There's always someone talking on screen. But the way it was portrayed, it was like someone in the theater was constantly talking during this film. And I was just like, this is getting annoying.
Right. Well, for those of you that are curious, to give you a brief summary, I don't want to go too much in the movie to ruin too much, but it basically takes 6 years after the Earth has suffered from this huge, major alien invasion. And this journalist, this photographer, he is basically, his job is to escort this American tourist out of Mexico, which is right in the heart of this infected, they call it the infected zones in Mexico, where they're clearly, there's a lot of alien attacks going on there. And so it's not a place you want to be, right? And essentially that is the film. I mean, the film is about him, this guy.
It's a journey of these two.
Yeah, the journey of these two trying to get safely back into America. And they run into a lot of trouble. Long story short, surprise, surprise, they have to go through this very dangerous infected zone. And so there's lots of moments there where it becomes very scary. One thing I did enjoy about a lot is that, unlike a lot of other, you know, aliens taking over the planet or just trying to destroy us, this is more focused on the aspect of, you know all this stuff's going on, but there's not a whole lot of concentration on it. It's more of just the fear and, well, not necessarily the fear, but the journey that these two are trying to go on during this very dangerous time in history. And, you know, it's more of just an intimate journey, like you said, an intimate journey that these two have. And I like that. It's not like it's a huge focus on, okay, how many cool alien scenes can we have attacking someone, or spaceships swooming in and shooting up all these stuff.
It is, I mean, like, the amount of total actors in this film is probably not even one crowd shot of most blockbuster films. I mean, there are hardly anyone in this film. And also, one of the things I liked is the characters. I mean, the journalist guy, it's not like, oh, I happen to be like a Han Solo, Indiana Jones type and a journalist. It was like, he's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
He's not even that likable.
No, he's not.
He's not that likable. He's just like, you know, the reason he's escorting this lady is the guy he works for, that's his daughter. And he's like, well, you want to keep working for me, right? You're going to have to do this. And so he's not really wanting to do this at all. And, you know, but he does. So, you know, it's not one of these like, that's his fiance and they got to get out alive and you're worried and because of the romantic thing. That's not even into the picture.
Yeah, I mean, eventually a little bit of romance does come into the play. But you're right. It's not necessarily obviously the focus in the film, and that's kind of nice. In the end, I have to admit, I was a little worried that I was not going to like it at all. And I was surprised to find out that overall it wasn't too bad. Obviously, yes, you're going to hear a lot of people complain about the corny look of the alien. The aliens, for those people who are curious, they looks like a giant octopus that floats around the air. So it's kind of like they took... Did you see the remake version of War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Okay, so they really kind of played on the idea that the aliens had kind of like these arms that came down and would dangle and they could get into things. So they kind of had that feel a little bit to it. And by the way, actually, speaking of War of the Worlds, I am a huge fan of... Well, actually, I did enjoy the remake as well. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed the remake as well. But I was a huge fan as a kid growing up watching the World of Worlds. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the original. And what I loved about World of the Worlds is that, again, another film where there's a lot of the aliens, ships shooting around and all that stuff. It was more of the terrifying fact that you have this small little town, there's an alien there, and there's aliens all of a sudden starting to pop up all over the place, and they're trying to escape, and you got those great moments like where they had the scene in the house, right, where the alien comes down, and they really played up in the remake as well. You had a few of those scenes in this movie too, right, where they're in the jungle, and then you have it again where they're in the towards the end of the film when they're in this
boat. I found that
yes,
very
when
tense.
They're in the boat, that's right. And there was a few other scenes, so it's more personal, and it's more of like, oh my God, what, you know, because you try to put yourself in that situation. You think, oh my God, what would I do if I was out there and I knew these aliens were right there by me? I mean, you know, it has that great aspect. Also, by the way, I think it also puts a better fear factor in it. Like in this movie, there's a few moments where you're actually going to get a little fearful, unlike when you watch a movie like Independence Day, which, by the way, I love, but let's be honest, there was no end point in that movie where I could see somebody actually getting scared necessarily, unless you just really get scared easily.
I don't know. I might have jumped when Brett Spiner was being like slammed up against that wall glass.
That's a great point. That is a point in the film where it is creepy. But that's because, again, a one-on-one scene with the alien close up, you know, those scenes are always more terrifying than it is when they're just flying around their ships. So I like that personal aspect of the film. I liked how they really focused on the two main characters and their story and their journey. I love the way it's shot, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cinematography
set.
Was beautiful shot. Love
beautiful
the setting.
Outdoor.
Yeah, and I love the setting with it being in Mexico. I thought that was brilliant. A lot of unknowns, and you could just really feel it. I really like that. There was obviously there's things I could nitpick, like the where was the aliens at during the daytime? Like we hardly ever saw them. We always saw them at night.
I have
night.
A feeling budget was the reason that the aliens weren't there during.
Yes,
the day.
I know. And then the whole aspect about this wall, like so around the country, they have these protective walls, but I'm thinking to myself, does that really protect the country? I'm a little confused by that. I'm kind of not quite sure if that really is going to stop them. But needless to that, obviously I could nitpick if I wanted to. But I was definitely pleasantly surprised. I give it probably I'd probably push it close to the 3-star range.
That's about where I am. 3 stars.
You know, it's not granted. No, this isn't the greatest alien sci-fi movie I've ever seen. But I think it's a good enough independent film that you should at least give it a shot. Don't let the name scare you away. Let's put
or the
it
the fact
way.
That it's a lower budget, not a wide release. You know, this is not like Sci-Fi Channel level silliness or something.
Yeah,
but
it's obviously above any of that. It's not that kind of cheesy stuff. I mean, it is at least somewhat credible when it comes to the effects and all that stuff. So I think there's enough there that I think the average sci-fi fan would probably at least enjoy it.
Yes. I was pleasantly surprised with it. I remember the rumors were going around, and I'm not sure if they're true. I can't remember who the director ended up being. Like, oh, the director who directed Monsters is going to do Godzilla. I was like, I would be okay with that. So
that rumor's true.
Like,
I'm looking at his IMDb page. I'm looking at his IMDb page, and I could have sworn that I did see. I'm going to double check that now while you're talking. But yes, it's in pre-production right now. It's supposed to release in 2014.
Monsters is kind of like Wilford, where that premise is just enough where it's not the usual. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, it's like, Wilford could just be this crude, target college stuff. But, there's definitely some heart and emotion in Wilford that makes it not a comedy for me and probably for a lot of people. There's generally like touching moments or just like scenes where you just feel for these characters. So, and that's kind of what Monsters is. It could have easily just been a lot of tentacles attacking people and pulling them underwater and, aliens showing up all the time. But it's such almost like a quiet film. I mean, there's hardly any loud noises. It's very atmospheric,
It is very atmospheric. I would say, by the way, there was one other thing that I did want to warn people about, because it was a bit of a problem for me. Not a huge problem, but a little bit of a problem. There is a lot of slow moments in this film.
It is.
Like I said, this is not an action-packed, normal sci-fi alien movie. There's a few moments I talked about earlier that could scare you, for sure, and give you the creeps or whatever. But overall, it's not a high-flying action film. There is a lot of slow-moving parts of the movie, which for me was a negative. It's the reason why I'm not saying this is the best movie I've ever seen kind of thing. So definitely go into that. Remember that part of it. But like you said, there's enough there to where it's probably worthwhile at least checking out.
Definitely.
And Gareth Edwards, by the way, is the name of the director. And like I said, 2014, he's going to be doing a Godzilla
So that's great.
And I think it'll be a good choice. It's a good choice.
Now, we have already watched all our stuff for next episode.
Yes.
In that next episode, we're going to check out the pilot for Matthew Perry's TV show, Go On.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because if you've seen any Olympics, you've seen a promo for this show. If you've watched just 10 minutes of the Olympics.
10 minutes, that's all it takes.
Yeah, they had Go On tattooed on Michael Phelps' back or something. You know, it was everywhere during the Olympics. We're also going to be watching some documentaries. Watching the I had seen Ken Burns Baseball, like when it came out on PBS originally, and I knew he had done a follow-up, more recent stuff, but I'd never watched that. So I watched that, and you watched a documentary on how they build Steinway pianos.
Yes, I sure did.
So that's what you have to look forward to next time we record, folks. And hopefully I won't get blown away by this hurricane and we can record a lot sooner. We can take advantage of your wife being out of town. And Saturday I have Star Wars Celebration, so I'm going to be Warsing it up.
Exciting.
On Saturday. But maybe we can record Sunday and then I'll release it an actual for real week from the last post or something.
Yeah, we'll see how things play out
goes.
Yeah, exactly.
In the meantime, while you're listening to this one, you can send us feedback at whattowatchpodcast.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter. I'm Dr. Quest on Twitter, and you're Jay Panhorse.
That's correct. On Twitter. Follow away.
Yes, follow away. We tweet about all kinds of stuff. You'll be seeing a lot of pictures from Star Wars Celebration.
Ooh, that'll be exciting.
And you're always out and about. Seems like your family's always doing something.
Very active person. And I usually try to share fun things. And obviously, yes, I do talk a lot about movies and television. That's
especially
for sure.
Especially Mad Men. So if you...
Yes.
Because that's your other podcast, the Mad Men podcast.
That's correct. We're still kind of in a hiatus, obviously, for the show. But very exciting for those of you that are listening to the Mad Men podcast. We're going to be getting back into the saddle here pretty soon and start reviewing some of the best of.
Best of. Okay.
Best of.
I thought you were doing like a season overview, but you're doing best of. Okay.
No, we are doing best of the first three seasons because we really haven't talked a lot about
it. Best of. There's so many.
It's very difficult.
Especially those first two seasons were so good.
They were. Yeah, absolutely. But we are going to start off with the first episode because, to me, when I look at season one, you have to consider that first episode in the best of that season. So,
now, when you're going to be watching that first episode again, now that it's been several seasons, are you looking back and are you picking up clues? Because I remember when I rewatched that first episode, after so long, I'm like, man, they really drop hints that he's gay, you know, that Sal's gay and stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's just like, how did I miss that the first time I watched it?
That's exactly what my co-host said, Jason Peasel. Yeah. He was like, I don't know how I missed it. And I felt bad because for whatever reason, and I don't know what this means about myself, but I knew it immediately as soon as he started talking and started. I told myself, oh, well, he's definitely gay. So, yeah. But you're right. You're not alone. A lot of people are kicking themselves for not picking up on that.
Like when you find out, you know, because like we know Peggy gets pregnant. It's not like she's just
what?
Like, well,
when did this happen?
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
In the past, it happened.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, like. You can start to see those signs easier. Like, oh, okay. They did drop hints that it was a pregnancy, not just like I'm at a new place and I'm eating poorly, you know, freshman 15 type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned you, but I know I did on the podcast was that I recently rewatched the first three seasons right before season five started.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I will take that same approach as we do our watch for the best of episodes. Is that I do. I enjoy looking, and that's the only reason why to rewatch shows that you love is that you always like to nitpick and look through and find all those hidden clues that you somehow missed the first or second time around, and now watching it again, you go, oh my goodness, yes, why? I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. So, of course, we'll definitely, I'm sure,
and
check that stuff out.
You know, one of the dangers of watching that again is like, well, they never went back to that. You know, it's like a hanging plot thread that they that you feel the writers just forgot about. It's like, well, they never. What happened to this person, or why didn't, you know, why did this never get resolved?
Sure.
So
yeah,
there is the downside to rewatching stuff.
This is true.
You'll finally be like, wait a minute, it's been 6 years and we still don't know whatever that they brought up in this episode.
Yeah. So. But you know what? When you have, that's the thing about it, the great show. You wouldn't be rewatching if it wasn't because it was that good. And only the great shows are the shows I rewatch, you know, over and over and over again. So
I've Madden's really been meaning to rewatch Lost. I've been kind of getting the Lost bug again.
Me
and
too.
I really want to start. From I still don't have season 6 on Blu-ray. I have seasons 1 through 5 on Blu-ray.
I'm took the advantage same as of you. I still need to get that last one. Yeah.
And the price just hasn't come down. It's like still $40. No. And I'm like, what?
No, and you know, and you got Netflix. You can watch them still, right? They're still available on Netflix as well. So
I can do it that way, but I kind of want to watch the Blu-rays.
Oh, I hear you. So. I should have gotten the box set. I almost got the box set. Yeah. But I did. You know, sometimes when you buy the box set after you've already bought other, series or other seasons, then you go, "Oh my god, am I wasting my money?" You know, I don't know. Oh well.
Lost had a great thing. If you had bought them on DVD, you could cut out the UPC code, and they would give you like a refund. They give you like $10 back for the purchase of the Blu-ray.
Really?
Like the first three seasons. Unfortunately, I was able to take advantage of seasons 1 and 2.
Okay.
So. I was able to get seasons 1 and 2 cheap, and then they had like really Amazon had a great deal on them one day, and I bought as many as they had. 6 wasn't out yet, so anyway,
that's kind of what they did with Mad Men this last Christmas. Is I was able to get them all on Blu-ray for very inexpensive. I'm talking about like under $15 a piece for the whole season on Blu-ray. It was crazy how cheap it was. So you just have to really pay attention to those sales. And especially during the holidays, folks, seriously, we're coming up pretty soon. Look for those crazy deals that they do around Black Friday.
I know.
You can get some crazy deals.
There's a couple of things I'm hoping that they drop the price on because I would hit them up.
Yes, I would too. Sopranos is one of them too. I still don't have all the Sopranos, and I would even consider buying a set or something if I could get a really good price on it.
Okay.
So,
well,
anyway, yeah, so there you go.
Next episode, I also we have homework for each other. We're going to be looking for picking out shows. We're looking forward to like new shows for the coming season.
Yeah, exactly. We do need to, because obviously this is going to be a big part of this show. Yep. Is we're going to be reviewing a lot of these shows, so it'll be interesting to see what the two of us are thinking might sound pretty good that we can use for future episodes here of this podcast. Chris, if you could name three or four shows that you just cannot wait for that you already been watching. What are some of those shows that you're looking forward to this fall?
Let's see.
To come back.
Dexter.
Me too. Oh, did you see the trailer?
That's another thing. Like I would rebuy the entire series because I've unfortunately started with just DVDs.
Yes.
And then I started getting Blu-rays. I'm like, I'd go back and rebuy them all on Blu-ray.
Did you see the trailer for season 7
yes.
yet? Oh, it could be really good. I can't wait to see what they do. So Dexter, we're both on the same page with that. Yes. What else?
Let's see. Coming back, a show on the Learning Channel. No, A&E. It's called Duck Dynasty. I love that show. It's hilarious.
I've heard of that. It's actually very popular.
That's going to be season 2. And then I would have to say, see, I'm worried about Community. There was so much shakeup and so much to do about it. I don't know if it's going to be the same. So
the
showrunner.
Showrunner's gone, right?
Gone. So I'm like, maybe I shouldn't look forward to that. I am now that I've been reading about this Office season being the last, and they're just going to throw out all the stops and just do everything they always wanted to do since it's going to be the last season. I'm like, ooh, what could they be doing then? So I am kind of looking forward to The Office then.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're like, okay, we're going to just throw everything out the window and just do like basically everything the fans demanded because we got nothing left in the tank.
Yeah. I think it's a smart move, by the way, for them to, let's go ahead and end it now. I am going to be very curious to see how they end it. That's going to be curious for me as well. No surprise for those of you who know me very well. I would say other than Dexter, of course, this fall, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how they wrap up Fringe. It's a we were very fortunate to get a season 5. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's going to be a shortened season. But hey, anything I get from it is great. So I'm excited to see how they do with that. And then to round it up, obviously, I'm always excited about a new season of Survivor. This year, we're going to have Jeff Kent, the longtime Giants baseball player. And do you did you ever watch the show Facts of Life?
Yes.
Do you remember Blair, the blonde girl?
Yes.
She's also going to be playing the game of Survivor, which is
funny.
Crazy.
She was, Jeremiah and I, well, I used to, but until I moved, went to the same church, and I remember she was there.
Oh, that's right.
During one of the women's conferences or something.
I forgot about that. That's right. She did. She's a very devout Christian, strong her Christian views. And that's right. I forgot she made an appearance at the church.
So I have met her just because I was helping in the bookstore and she was delivering some books or something.
Yeah. So. I've heard she's very nice.
Yes. And so is this like a celebrity version of Survivor, guessing?
For those that have watched the show for a long time, they've had what I would call B or C class type celebrities that have competed before in Survivor. And this is like cream of the crop. The best they're going to get would be is old television stars or an athlete. They've had other athletes on before as well. So this is kind of what they normally got. They're mixing them in like they're normal folks. In fact, they won't even tell them who they are. Now, granted, I think those are two big enough names where I'm sure that the people that are around eventually are going to put two and two together and figure out who they are. Mm-hmm. And then they're also having three people that have played the game before come back. So, you know, it's one of the things, so unfortunately, Survivor has had to do to continue to keep the ratings up is to come up with other little gimmicks that they can have by bringing celebrities in or bringing returning players back that people loved to kind of get you more interested. The old school days are gone where every season is all new people, which I really enjoy because that's the part of the show I really like.
I've always thought Survivor could have just gone and gotten all these old TV stars and just really played up kind of Return of the Battle of the Network star angle, because they do those games constantly.
Yeah, they do.
Just, like, really promote those games and like the celebrity, the TV stars, you know, like, and really do it. Be like, here's all these guys who are on famous CBS shows versus NBC or ABC shows, and just really play it up that way.
Well, I know there's been a lot of rumors that they would like to have an entire season where it's all celebrities or B-rated celebrities, you know, kind of like when I say B-rated celebrities, you know, like I'm sure you've
Dancing
seen the Celebrity
stars.
Apprentice, the Dancing with the Stars, those kinds of shows. So I think they would love to do that. But you have to remember, this show is not a show that everyone would be crazy enough to do because they do starve out there. They do get eaten up by bugs. I mean, it's not a pleasant scenario for even a B-type star to be in. You know what I'm saying? You have to be really crazy about the show and the game to actually consider going on the show. It's not Big Brother where they're sitting around partying in a house. Let's be honest. That's all they're doing is drinking and eating and partying in a house.
I'm surprised Big Brother hasn't done more celebrity ones.
I'm surprised too, because that's a show I could see a celebrity doing because he or she wouldn't have to go through the elements. You know what I'm saying?
I remember watching the UK Big Brother on YouTube because they did a celebrity one, and one of the celebrities was Dirk Benedict,
no
from
way.
The A-Team.
And no
I was like,
way.
I have to watch Starbuck on Big Brother.
That's
hilarious.
I don't watch it. My wife does, but the Celebrity Fit Club, I remember that was the first time I heard that Dustin Diamond or Mr. Was going to be on there. And I did watch that season. I think it would wind up being on two seasons of that show. But I actually had to make sure I watched it because I was like, oh my God, I got to see Screech on this show. And he was, of course, obnoxious. He's something else, that guy. But so I was kind of had the same feeling you probably had when you heard that that he was going to be on the.
I was like, Starbuck, awesome! I gotta see this. I don't think he didn't win, but so I just watched the episodes he was on because I didn't.
Sure.
All these others were like British celebrities. Like, does he live over in England? I guess so now or something.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I guess so.
But it was fun.
It is fun. Well, I'm looking forward to our next podcast and reviewing. We got some really great stuff to review. And
we do.
Hopefully everyone will come back and check us out.
Yep. We'll see y'all later.